Shabbat Shalom. The parasha for this week's Sabbath is entitled Mishpatim, which means judgment. It covers Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 through chapter 24, verse 18. Now, these were the first laws Adonai gave his people after the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. These laws give practical applications of the Decalogue in daily life. These laws are called judgments or rulings, and they are not so much laws regulating conduct as they are laws regulating the punishment for misconduct. Now, since Adonai freed his chosen people Israel from slavery with great signs and awesome wonders, it seemed practical that Adonai begins this additional set of laws with the topic of slavery, as if to say to the Israelites, though you will be allowed an institution called slavery, it cannot be anything like you experienced in Egypt. Now, there were three types of people who could become Hebrew slaves: paupers, debtors, and thieves. A pauper who could not make a living worked for another person in exchange for room and board. A debtor who was unable to pay his debts worked without salary until he paid off his debts. And a thief who was unable to make restitution would have to work to repay the amount of his theft. However, unlike non-Israelis captured in war, a Hebrew slave's term of servitude could only last for 6 years. It was not indefinite. If the slave is not married, the master could give him a non-Israeli bondwoman as a wife. If that wife gives birth to sons and daughters, she and her children will belong to the master. After the Hebrew slave is finished with his years of service, he will be made free. But now verse 5 says, if the slave decides that he wants to stay with the master, he must say, I love my master, I love my wife and my children, I will not become free, I will stay. The servant was then marked on the ear and would remain in the household for life. The relationship between master and servant could be very congenial, and such a relationship could be continued permanently if the servant desired and the master agreed. Otherwise, Adonai says in Leviticus 25 that those who sold themselves into slavery will become free, even if there's no kinsman redeemer or anyone to buy them back. At the year of Jubilee, the 50th year, they and their children will become free. In Leviticus 25:42, Adonai plainly states, the Israelites are my servants. I brought them out of slavery in Egypt, and they must not become slaves again. The price to obtain a servant was 30 shekels of silver, and this also reminds us of Yeshua's servitude, as he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. The law also gives special protection to female servants to make sure their masters did not abuse them or deprive them of their rights. This parasha also concerns injury to a person. Injuring a person had to be punished in a manner corresponding to the injury. The principle of retribution is marked throughout these laws: eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. In verse 16 of this chapter, Adonai makes the kidnapping of any person, Israeli or non-Israeli, for the purpose of enslavement a capital punishment. Striking one's father or mother, or even cursing parents, was punishable by death. Chapter 22 contains explanations of social duties and obligations, which covers thefts, trespasses, borrowing, fornications, witchcraft, idolatry, and various other items. Verse 28 states that blasphemy, which is speaking against God, against rulers, or against parents, requires a sentence of death. In chapter 23, we read that the judicial system in ancient Israel, like our court system today, depends on just laws, honest judges, and faithful witnesses. God's laws were just, but they could be deliberately misinterpreted by an unjust judge or a lying witness who could give false testimony. Judgment was not to be influenced by money, personal feelings, or social status. Now, when it comes to applying the law, God does not want the wicked to be justified. When it comes to saving lost sinners, God in his grace justifies the ungodly. He can do this only because the penalty of our sins were bore on the cross by Yeshua, our Messiah. The worship of God and the working of and living in the land was bound together. Israel's religious festivals were tied to an agricultural year in a series of sevens. The seventh day was the Sabbath, and the seventh year was the sabbatical year. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was celebrated for 7 days after Passover. The seventh month opened with the Feast of Trumpets, which included the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. The weekly Sabbath not only reminded the Israelites that they belonged to God, but it also shows God's care for the health of man and beast and the health of the land. The sabbatical year gave even more opportunity for rest and restoration. Passover speaks of the death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The Feast of First Fruit is a type of Messiah's resurrection, and the Feast of Tabernacles remind us of his coming again and the future kingdom of joy and fullness. God promises people victory because his angels would go before them and help them defeat their enemies if the nation faithfully obeyed God's commandments. Israel's ownership of the land was purely and only by God's grace. In previous chapters, God laid out ordinances required to live a righteous life before him. God had provided those ordinances, but the people needed to respond. That response comes in chapter 24, verse 37. Moses took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." Wonderful words, but unfortunately, they would not come to pass. Israel did conquer the promised land. However, they did not destroy the cities and idols of the godless inhabitants. In time, God's people began to make peace with their neighbors and learn to worship their false gods and goddesses. This led to discipline from the Lord and the eventual captivity away from the land. Now, what can we learn from Parsha Mishpatim? Before we judge Israel too severely, Matthew 7:2 tells us that as you judge, criticize, and condemn others, you will be judged, criticized, and condemned. And in accordance with the measure you dealt out to others, it will be dealt out to you again. We need to ask how much God's people today are compromising with the gods of this world, such as money, pleasure, and success. And how many temples are being erected in this nation today to false gods? We need to pray. Oh God, our Father and King, you who are our eternal judge, your word teaches us that we are guilty before your holy judgments. There is not one of us who have not fallen short of your righteous standards. We know that we are often unfaithful and that we are oftentimes in bondage ourselves to our sinful lust and desires. Father, we fail. Our flesh is weak. Our hearts are prone to sin. And so again, we ask daily for forgiveness and for your atonement. Father, please make us in practice what we are before you in position. By the power of your word and spirit, allow Messiah to be formed in us in a greater and saving way. We pray that we may honor and glorify you through our lives. In the name of your son, Yeshua, our Messiah. Can we say amen? Amen. Shabbat shalom.